The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Wednesday, November 9th, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It is just moments after, literally moments after Hillary Clinton has given her concession speech last night at about 3:30, 3 a.m. I don't remember exactly when it was. Donald Trump walking out on stage to the theme song from Air Force One, that movie, gave his acceptance speech, I guess, to be the next president of the United States. And last night, yesterday, was... I mean, there's really no way to bring the music down. I want the soundtrack to this. Yesterday was an incredibly disastrous day for this country. I mean, obviously... for the Democrats running, but the implications for this country, for the vast majority of people who are listening to my voice, will be disastrous for years to come. You know, over the next days and weeks and months, we're going to spend a lot of time talking and thinking about how can those years be influenced, strategies. I mean, policy, I guess, proposals, which would all be implemented, would be developed really with politics primarily in mind, because those policies are not going to be implemented. I mean, we will undoubtedly talk about local politics or policies that could be implemented on a local level, because I mean, I think that's what we're going to see. There are going to be, over the next years, hopefully, you know, things will happen that we don't anticipate for the better. But when you want to get dark about it, you know, we could be talking many years, and we could be talking about a country that continues to polarize, and people, you know, sorting themselves out, moving to states just based on who controls it politically. I mean, we can talk more about that. It was yesterday, I think, is for a lot of people. I mean, you know, certainly walking around Brooklyn, there's a higher concentration of people who are upset about the election, but I imagine that's really across the country. And, you know, I'm sure most of the people listening to this are aware of people who are freaking out, and I would say probably everybody is aware of people who are freaking out. It's not uncommon to see people crying. I got about 2 hours of sleep last night. My kids got a little bit more than that. My daughter I was rather upset about it. A lot of, you know, we'll talk about how you talk to kids about this. We'll go over today on the program results. And both in the Senate and the House, obviously in the presidential election, we will talk about what happened in terms of the numbers. As much as we can explain yesterday, we will talk about that as well. There's a couple of points of good news, not a tremendous amount, and we will dig into it. We're going to take calls throughout the program today. Last night when we signed off, well, I guess about maybe it was a little bit less than 11 hours ago, we had 40 people on the line. And obviously, we could not get to all of them. So we'll take some calls today. You know, I'll be honest with you. I had not, for a moment, contemplated what we would do programmatically for this show, what it would feel like. I hadn't contemplated this in for a moment in really in any fashion. I had a lot of ideas of what we were going to do with the show if Clinton won. And a lot of those, in many respects, are moot. And, you know, it brings into relief, you know, who was it yesterday? During the day, was it? Jesse Meyerson had written a piece. I don't know where he posted it. I guess he had left Twitter even after the convention. And he had written a piece about why he was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. And it was largely echoed what my argument was that Hillary Clinton is the foe you wanted from the perspective of a leftist. Because that gives you the opportunity to argue policies that should be implemented. And there's a lot of things that I had anticipated we would be talking about that are largely moot now. Last week, we had Barry Lynn on to talk about antitrust regulation, how important that would be. I mean, these things are good to talk about, but they have become significantly more theoretical. I mean, that's an understatement. The challenge in the coming days and weeks, months, and years is going to be first to, you know, make sure that people maintain hope. I mean, this, I'm not going to lie. I mean, this strikes me as the bleakest time in that I perceive in terms of looking out to the future. Now, let me qualify that by saying, you know, I have kids now, and so I take things maybe a little bit more to heart than I would have when it was just myself. But, you know, I saw Reagan get elected. I was just not of voting age to vote against Reagan in his first election. I saw Bush get selected. I saw the second plane hit the towers from the roof of my building. Obviously, 2004 and the eve of the Iraq War. I mean, all of these things happened. This is, in many respects, strikes me as one of the most hopeless feelings I've had throughout all of that. Now, let me qualify that statement, too. I didn't think Donald Trump would win. So one never knows. I can come up with a bunch of different scenarios that are rosier than what I perceive the future to be. Some of them are pretty far-fetched. Some of them might make a good like Amazon Prime series or something. And we can talk about those. But, you know, someone sent me this last night. Maybe actually it was my neighbor who sent me this in a text last night. I think I had just picked it up. I think I had just read it. I don't know. Yeah, I think it was, I don't know if this was last night at 3 a.m. But David Remnick from The New Yorker wrote a piece talking about Trump being elected, the inevitable miseries to come, he outlines. He characterizes Trump, but most importantly, he sums it up this way. It is all a dismal picture. Late last night, as the results were coming in from the last states, a friend of mine called me full of sadness, full of anxiety about conflict, about war. Why not leave the country? But despair is no answer. To combat authoritarianism, to call out lies, to struggle honorably and fiercely in the name of American ideals, that is what is left to do. That is all there is to do. And that's the case. And I really do think that is the case. I mean, you know, there's a reason why you've been interested in politics, and it is undoubtedly not just solely for your own benefit. You haven't been interested in politics just because you think it's going to bring about outcomes that are going to be beneficial to you. Your interest undoubtedly involves a sense of what the society is going to be like for your kids, for their kids, but for other members of society. And chances are, if you are in a position where you can actually leave this country, let's say, whether literally or just metaphorically, then undoubtedly there are people who are much more vulnerable to what a Trump presidency specifically and a Republican-dominated government on the state, federal, the judicial, the legislative, the executive. There are people who are much more vulnerable to living under that type of regime, and you know, what better purpose can we have than to fight to help those people? So it's disturbing. But that's the but that seems to be the only course moving forward. So let's take some calls. Should I do? This seems like gallows humor now. But Periscope data, we got an ad. I don't know. Are people really interested in running routine SQL tasks? Of course. Now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
Folks, oh, we got to do this. Periscope data is the ultimate tool for fast and flexible data visualization. Why run slow queries on an old spreadsheet data when Periscope data allows you to run, visualize, and share analysis over billions of data rows in seconds? Answer the big questions instead of running routine SQL tasks again and again. Periscope data is fast, powerful, and effortless to connect. Think about this, folks. Blazing fast query execution, fast workflow, fast sharing, ease of trial. There's no setup cost or time. Traditional BI tools take over a month to get your ETL configured. With Periscope, you can get training and delivering insights as soon as you plug in your credentials. No giant statements of work, no top-heavy meetings, just you and your data. Plus, it's easily reversible. Indeed. Wouldn't it be fantastic if it was all easily reversible? Oh, boy. Periscope data is a powerful, intuitive tool that will bring your SQL analysis to the next level. Get a free trial today. I can barely see this now. By going to periscopedata.com/majority. That's periscopedata.com/majority. Oh, my God.
Glenn Beck couldn't have done it any better, that transition.
Okay, let's go to the phones. You're calling from a 786 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam, how's it going, man? It's Tony from Miami.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
You already know, man.
Yeah, I know.
Technically, not too upset. Miami-Dade County and Broward County didn't vote for Trump, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
The rest of the state, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Really, I just wanted to call and express something, if it's okay, really quick. I know you guys got a lot of calls ahead. It's kind of something I wrote. I kind of tagged you guys on Facebook and stuff like that, hoping you guys will see it. But I'll say it anyways to everybody who's listening and stuff. Day one, repeal marijuana acts in the country. Close Obamacare, shut down EPA, shut down FDA, cut public schooling, create deportation force, and all the other fucked up shit he promised. And with a crazy evangelical far right wing government, which is complete with control of all three houses, and the Supreme Court, this country is going to see a wave of change. As usual, the very poor and the very middle class will feel it. I guess the country didn't feel the fact that we had endured 10 years of being a laughingstock of the planet while G.W. Bush was in office, ending the awful nauseating effect after Obama was elected, but we still had a bad taste in our mouths for the first 2 years. And now here we are again, a joke. I don't find it a joke to see already the stock markets dropping from the reaction of this election. The man's tax policies will drive us into the same hole we got into with the 2007 recession. I guess people forgot when people were committing suicide on a weekly basis from evictions, layoffs, bankruptcies, divorces, which skyrocketed. People were killing their own families because of the pressures the stress had done to their mind. And what was worse was now the ugliness in the country will be full force and frontal for the next 4 years or even forever. We gave evil, vile, racist, sexist, ignorant, deplorable, unethical, insane people a voice and they screamed. Now they will scream for the at those children who came here for a better future. They will beat up people who don't pray or believe the way they do. Under this administration, no minority who is struggling, barely getting by, or just now getting their lives together will be safe from the financial implications this will have. No more regulations equals another financial recession. I hope people like parks because no EPA. No EPA, no parks, no more safe fishing, no more fresh drinking water, no more safe climate change initiatives, no more nature or wildlife protections in this country, no more progressive movement and more greener, renewable future, no more affordable or even a single-payer health program, no more safe, regulated prescription drugs, no more class action suits against those drug companies who harm or even kill you or a family member, no more retirement at 65, more like 75, no more freedom of speech, uncontrollable gun laws equals more guns in the hands of psychopaths. Hate crimes will fly through the roof, and it'll all come down to those people screaming, Trump is president now, go back to where you come from. Try speaking Spanish anywhere you go in this country and see how fast you'll be judged, hated, or even labeled an illegal immigrant. Even more disgusting is the fact that my wife on a daily basis receives more ignorant racist comments at her job than I have ever heard because of her ethnicity and her appearance. So for my family, this is serious. I don't want my daughter, who is half black and half Spanish, to feel the pure hatred and stigmatism of this state, of her, and how the state sees her and other children in her position. I plan to move and leave Florida with its ugliness. I suggest many do the same. This stuff will literally drown within less than 60 years anyways, and I'll be damned if it takes my family with it. My ancestors have endured much, much worse and witnessed literally an extinction of their own people. This should be a lesson to those who thought their votes didn't count or make it, no difference to pay attention to politics. Now we have no other way, but to fix it, but to pay attention and vote. If the vote didn't matter, or I guess, those racists who voted for Trump must have thought something different. Whatever the case may be, they won because they voted. Let's start paying attention now and fight for the right politician. No one wanted Bernie, and look what we got instead. An obviously flawed candidate that the country never wanted. We yelled and yelled for Bernie, and no one heard. Now they see what, many of us were trying to tell them. She was flawed from the beginning, and everyone underestimated the growing ignorance in this country. Time to bite the bullet and start watching out for more progressive people to fight for. We need more Bernie-crats. I know I will do this, as much as I can to make the country better. I will do my best to fight for my wife, my daughter, and my family's future. And my ancestors will be my strength. All I can say is I'm moving to the West Coast, man. And, unfortunately, this is a side. I'm at the end of that. But at the end, I'm going to wrap it up with this, man. I got friends and family members who, say things like women shouldn't have been president anyways, To them, I just say, that's horrible. I have a daughter, 1 year old. What am I supposed to tell her in 18 years when she's ready to go to college? She can't afford it because of the whiplash that this man's going to ensue. Okay? And then I have, friends who say, Trump is president. It's not like a president that ever got elected has ever done anything to impact our lives. And I told him, and that was, you know, my own half-brother said that. And I texted and I told him, you know, are you serious? Bush gave us the Great Depression. And President Hoover gave us the Great Depression. Now, a lot can happen with the president. And that's just two presidents I mentioned.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you something. I think a big part of what did happen is, I mean, there's, you know, we're going to talk about slicing and dicing what the electorate was. But at the end of the day, a lot less people, relatively speaking, voted. And that ultimately became the problem. Let me move on to other callers, but I appreciate you calling in. We'll be here.
No problem. Thanks for hearing me out, and thanks for, you know, listening to me for that long.
All right. I appreciate the call. I mean, I think, you know, that dynamic, though, where there just wasn't it does appear that Clinton is going to win the popular vote. But the number of voters who came out, and you'll hear things like that Trump got a higher percentage of African Americans and of Latinos in this election. Well, he did. I don't know, and I haven't seen the raw totals on this, but the reality is Trump got 1 million fewer votes than McCain and 2 million fewer votes than Romney. Remember, obviously, the population of the country is grown. And Clinton got 7 million votes fewer than Obama in 2012. So what ultimately happened, and this was the strategy, right? Donald Trump is a horrible person. And the strategy was Democratic turnout is more sensitive to negative campaigning than Republican. I mean, that's basically, in a nutshell, I mean, we can go through why that's the case. But Clinton got 7 million fewer votes than Obama. That comes out to, I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't have the number in front of me, but my guess is that comes out to about 10% less votes for a population that is theoretically larger. And like I say, we can dig into the demographics, but when you see Donald Trump getting a bigger share of Latino or African-American votes, my guess would be that those African-Americans and Latinos that vote for a Republican, and even one as hideous as Donald Trump, are simply more reliable voters and are less dissuaded. They are every much the zealots that the rest of the conservative movement is. So there's no evidence that Donald Trump found a whole new set of white voters. I mean, it's possible, but that evidence isn't really there, at least in the raw numbers. What really this comes down to is that Donald Trump, and I think with, you know, assists from Clinton in some respects, and assists from misogyny and racism, helped depress the Democratic turnout. And I also think the absence of a a proactive agenda also assisted in depressing Democratic turnout. You know, like I say, I think there's a lot of things that contributed to this. And I still believe that, look, when you're talking about misogyny and racism, there's a point where they meld and they become basically the same thing. And that is, I think, when white voters, white male voters, and, you know, the group that did not show up for Clinton as they thought was those white female voters in the suburbs who were Republicans, and certainly not those white male voter Republican, college-educated Republicans in the suburbs. They did not show up. They've just voted. They just voted for Trump. White working class voters also voted for Trump. And I think it gets back to white males not wanting to see their president and not see, again, another person who doesn't look like them when they look in the mirror. And so the relationship between misogyny and racism is right there. You're just not a white guy. And I think, you know, from a cultural standpoint, because in terms of dollars, I mean, some of the counties where, yeah. Clinton got crushed in counties where unemployment has improved the most since 2010. So, again, that is a, there's something, you know, I'm not saying that this is distinct from economics. But it is, the story is not primarily economics. I happen to think that economics is a way to reach these voters. But I think that idea that white people, white men in particular, didn't want to see a president who didn't look like them was obviously a big factor, and then the inability of the Clinton campaign to turn these people out. I have no idea why they didn't pick this up. I think, you know, what happens is you just must extrapolate and make that primary assumption. Who's going to show up to the polls? And then everything from there that you calculate is wrong because it's premised on a faulty premise. Calling from an 818 area code, who's this?
Hey, Sam, this is Jabbles, also known as Elch.
What's happening? Phone's not in great shape.
What was that?
Your phone's not in great shape, but give me a quick comment. Sure. We got a lot of people to go here, and
okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I mean it was it's difficult. Obviously, difficult morning. I had to sit down my two sons, 10 and 8, last night, and tell them that despite what millions of Americans decided to reward, that wasn't exactly something that they should ever aspire to from a behavioral standpoint.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's one of those things where I'm thinking those types of conversations were had, millions of times over and are going to be had. I was heartened by the fact, dropping them off at school today, there was a little Caucasian girl wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt. So, there's little rays of sunshine and hope here and there. But I think ultimately, you know, it comes down to, you know, and you might have mentioned this before, you know, it's the frustration is felt. A lot of that old establishment, DNC, Emily's List, all these people who just sort of push this, you know, this narrative towards us and made us buy in. And then, you know, when we had a lot of options that were a lot more truly progressive and would have been the better way forward. But, you know, we got what we got. So, I mean, I was around in 2000. You know, that was somewhat, you know, that was a shock. I was around 2004. That was a shock. Both of those times I felt like just giving in, you know, throwing in the towel and giving up. Today I wake up and I'm feeling, you know, like I need to sort of get off Twitter, turn off the TV, go out and start talking to people and, you know, like you guys just say, you know, affect change at a local level and hopefully it'll make its way up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to do in the short term. I mean, we'll have plenty of time to talk about things like initiatives that can be pushed and whatnot. But at the first thing, you know, I think for people to do is just try to, engage with their communities and support people who need support.
Right.
I don't know what else, people can do in the short run. And then, you know, who knows? We just witnessed an incredibly improbable election. So, maybe improbabilities come in.
No, I mean, it's one of those. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you haven't lived until you've had to hold your sobbing 68-year-old mother of Mexican descent because it's such a disheartening result. But
yeah,
you know, you move forward. So
hang in there. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Am I up? Can I just say two quick things? One, I'll attempt to make a somewhat serious point, and two is an apology. But one, I agree in the long term that a real progressive economic agenda is essential, but the numbers, as far as I can see, and I know we'll learn a lot more, it really I don't think it comes down to not telling a progressive narrative or, you know, who won the primary, whatever. It seems to me just like raw, you know, white resistance, misogyny and racism, just like you've been saying. And I don't know, frankly, if you want to go down that road, I don't know that a Jewish socialist guy with a New York accent is performing better in that environment.
I personally,
it's a very dumb thing to litigate right now.
Well, I mean, it's a dumb thing to litigate, but it's also just dumb to litigate at any time after the end of the primary.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
The bottom line is I think that Bernie Sanders could have won. I do. I have always maintained that Bernie Sanders particularly matched up better than Donald Trump. But we also didn't have an opportunity to pick Donald Trump. But if we're going to get down to brass tacks, here is essentially the dynamic that took place. Bernie Sanders did not get into the race until a year after he should have, because he didn't think he could win. He didn't want to run. He just wanted to hold Hillary Clinton's feet to the fire. That is the reality. So
there was no scheme. There's no conspiracy.
Well, that's the bottom line. And I think probably Bernie Sanders was waiting to see if Elizabeth Warren would get in. So it is just as much as Bernie Sanders' screw up as whoever the imaginary person that you think, if you're one of these people, you think should have chosen Bernie Sanders. There was no one person. The DNC, those dozen people who worked in an office in Washington, who were mad when Hillary Clinton wouldn't tie this around Paul Ryan's neck and had no ability to control her, also had no ability to control the election. Did they do things that favored Hillary Clinton? Yes. Did it make a difference in the election? No. What made a difference in the election is that Bernie Sanders wasn't even staffing up in a serious way until he was 3 months out from absolutely having the primary make it impossible for him to win. And so that is the reality. And I don't blame him. He didn't expect that he could win. And I don't know that there was a lot of people who expected he could win in January of 2015. So people need to grow up and then realize that, you know, I think there were mistakes that the Clinton campaign made after the convention. And I've said those. But, you know, if you're going to be a two-year-old, don't bring it up.
We don't have time for that. And I feel kind of sick as hell, so I need to step out, but I'll be back tomorrow.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm just wondering what you think about, so, you know, the numbers not adding up, like as we saw with the turnout. If a lot of those people understand what they've done, and if
the people who didn't vote,
the people who did vote and are white and want to see somebody that looks like them and couldn't make this leap to this and that, and Hillary is so bad, and then once things start happening, like the Supreme Court and, you know, things not really going in a way, I mean, people aren't like our listeners and aren't like us and aren't immersed in this stuff and don't really understand, I don't think, the consequences of voting, most people that vote.
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there.
And so I think that there's a lot of people who will be sorry that they did this.
Voted for Trump specifically?
Yes.
They might, but not unless there's some event, not unless there's some major rift between Trump and Republicans in the House.
I just
or
mean
the
that,
Senate.
I just mean
I don't know. I don't think they're going to have that awareness. I don't think people who voted that way will make the connection.
Well, now that everything is Republican controlled, we can assume that some things that we really don't want to see happen will happen, and it will happen rapidly.
It might, but I don't necessarily think that follows that those people are going to say like, oh, this is happening because the fifth judge on the Supreme Court voted for this and it allowed that company to do this and so on and so on. I don't think so. I mean, look, you know, I spoke to my dad about this, and he said, well, you know, he was obviously, he was trying to cheer me up, and he's certainly not a Trump supporter. And I think it's safe assumption he voted for Clinton. But he's like, well, you know, the checks and balances will take care of this. And the sane Republicans will corral him. And I'm like, there very well may be sane Republicans, but why would there be a greater set of incentives for them now when Trump is president to stand up to him as opposed to when he was just a candidate? There isn't. And do I think there's going to be massive amounts of regret? No, because, you know,
not
the thing, like,
regret,
with,
but I'm just saying when it becomes personalized, when there's the one thing that they overturn Roe versus Wade or whatever, and your girlfriend or your whoever, and you didn't think that you just didn't see it that way. It was not that complicated a choice to you.
It's going
to
be overturned in 3 or 4 years. And so much is going to happen in there, and it's not going to be. Maybe it's 3 or 4 years. Maybe it's 5 years, and maybe it's just in your state. Maybe it's it's a function of your state, and you know you got to go you got to cross state lines.
Already have to do that because it's
well, I understand,
too far, yeah.
But we're talking about the case that you were talking about. So,
Well, another thing I'm wondering is, I mean, I'm trying to just be hopeful and see paths forward that are feasible to actually do take action. But the other thing I'm wondering is, because, you know, I think it was a New York Magazine profile article, it was a profile of the campaign, of his campaign, and they had some acronym, and it stood for, like, if he didn't think of it, no fucking way. So, and that it was there, everyone in the campaign.
That's Kellyanne Conway saying that about Trump.
Right. So, you know, that's how he operates. And so the idea that Republicans are going, the Republicans in the Senate and the Congress and whoever are going to push him to do something, it will work. Then it won't work.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I mean, that's not the way our government works, because there's nothing for him to do. He could sit back and do not. I mean, he's not going to be digging into this stuff. He's going to be outsourcing this to Mike Pence, who is the perfect stooge for this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there may be things where he says, like, I'm going to build a wall, and or maybe like, no, we can't do TPP. But I would be shocked if that's the case. And maybe there will be some type of cleave there. It's possible, but I think it's unlikely. And I think, you know, we got whatever it is. I think they cracked the code with them. They held that Twitter back from them for the last 2 weeks. Who knows? I mean, it's possible. And I think that's, to the extent that there's going to be anything where people turn on Trump in the Republican Party, it is going to be because there is some type of conflict. And maybe it's, you know, he gets up there and he promises the last night, we're going to do infrastructure. Maybe.
Did you see Pelosi's, I just IM'd you. Pelosi said, we look forward to working on an infrastructure deal soon.
Yeah. And I think that's smart. You know, hold him to what he said. Hold him to what he said and encourage him. You know, the idea would be to throw his promises back at him and see how he reacts to that, because the Republicans don't want an infrastructure bill because it's going to have to be paid for. And that means either, at least in their minds, raise taxes, or it could just mean, you know, grow the deficit, which, you know, in terms of what we need, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But I have a feeling that some of those people in the Freedom Caucus might. So
how do you obstruct when they have all three branches of government?
I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, but basically the Senate Democrats are going to filibuster. And the question becomes, how much does Mitch McConnell want them to filibuster? And how much pressure can he withstand from his right flank? So, in other words, I would imagine by February, we're going to see a repeal Obamacare bill. And it will pass in the House. And it will get to the Senate. Mitch McConnell could nuke the filibuster for legislation as well. Or he could say, well, I'm going to let the Democrats filibuster it, so we don't have to deal with the repeal of Obamacare and we can blame the Democrats. But the thing is that guys like Levin and Limbaugh and what's her face and what's his face, and Heritage Foundation, they're not going to stand for that. And they're sophisticated enough that they can see that's what's being done. I mean, everybody knows that he could get rid of the filibuster. So he may feel pressured to do that, in which case then they would repeal Obamacare. And maybe something like that becomes, God knows what happens when you say, like, okay, there's no mandate. There's no exchange. We're going to kick everybody off it. The upshot is they're going to own a lot of the problems. And they're going to own that. Are people going to say, I shouldn't have voted Trump because of that? No. I think people may just say, like, wait a second. Mommy and daddy are fighting. And they're that means I've got to choose a side. That's my speculation. But calling from a 609 area code. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Just calling you to try to brighten Sam up a little bit.
Okay. Well, you got 90 seconds. Brighten Sam up. Go.
Okay. Sam, you guys, is Michael there? I don't know. You need to get back to what you do best, which is independent journalism reporting. What happened last night was a revolution. You guys did get a little bit blinded by thinking that you had to make a false choice, and so there were things on which you were light about Hillary, but I think that's what's causing your suffering right now. So please, stop. Get back to your reporting. We need you guys to be an independent voice of truth. You are the Noam Chomsky of our conscience. We don't look to academics anymore. We look
What's
to
Noam Chomsky?
We need you guys. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, all right. Well, I think we can take a day to, look, you want me to tell you the truth? It was a huge disaster yesterday. It was a huge...
Yes.
Nobody
saw it.
What's that?
Nobody saw it. I didn't see it. I didn't vote for him. But the fact is, it doesn't do any good to say Americans are stupid. I agree. We are stupid. But...
What? Okay.
You but just if that's it. The case, if that's the case, then how bad was Hillary? How bad is the system? It was a vote against the system, Sam. And what you do, and what...
Well, if it was a vote against the system... Hold on for one second. If it was a vote against the system, why did people vote against Russ Feingold as opposed to, let's say, Ron Johnson?
My neighbor asked me this morning. He couldn't understand it. First, he said, I'm worried if I should leave the East Coast because if a war breaks out, we're going to get bombed first. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Trump is the one trying to ameliorate Putin and not cause schism or be divided against him like Hillary does. When he said, well, what about all the Republicans who kept the House and the Senate and even won seats? And I'm like, it's because of the association of Hillary and the corrupt politicians. They're all extensions of the same thing. But you guys got a little bit soft on Hillary to the point where you were even at your own each other's throats, you know, against the Young Turks and Jimmy Dore. And really, you guys need to get on the same page. This has always been the slam against the Democrats. They can't find anything to agree upon.
I think Jimmy would certainly not identify himself as a Democrat. And I think his perspective on it was ridiculous. And I would imagine if Jimmy has given it half a thought, he's having deep regret today. But let me ask you this about the whole Russia thing. What if Russia decides tomorrow to, I don't know, attack Latvia?
Honestly, I think Americans and the world are tired of America being the world's policeman.
Okay.
Honest to God. Listen, you have to understand.
Lithuania?
I was a lifelong Republican.
Belarus?
No, I'm 55. I'm a retired environmental attorney. You remember Alex Keaton from Family Ties?
Mm-hmm.
I was more rabid a Republican than he was. I still have my signed editions, first editions of William F. Buckley, and my old boxes of National Review. Ooh. They used to say, if you weren't a Democrat before you were 20, you had no heart. If you weren't a Republican after 20, you had no brains.
Mm.
I think that's backwards. I think that Hillary didn't show any real heart. for example, she didn't go to
look,
the states
I agree with
that
you.
Were her normal supporters.
I agree with you.
Normal supporters.
I agree with you. I know.
And
listen.
She didn't go. And she didn't go there. That was just another slight by her. Shows her insincerity.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know that it's a question of insincerity. It's just bad politics. Like, she hadn't visited Wisconsin in a long time, and I suspect that she was getting. I mean, I would imagine there were people in Wisconsin who say, "Hey, we need some attention here," and it was definitely hubris and just incompetence on behalf
well,
of the campaign. There's no doubt about that.
It may also be the fact that there's no there in Hillary.
Well,
she's a career politician. And
I'm sorry, is there a there in Donald Trump?
So yes, there is. As nasty as it is, that's what exactly what the people responded to. He sounded like he really gave a shit and was really pissed off about the way things are.
It doesn't occur to you that it doesn't occur to you that like if why did he change his positions on healthcare over the past 5 years? Why did he change his position on amnesty? Why did he change his position on trade? I mean, we could go through the list. It's just a matter of like one person had a bright light shined on them. And another person didn't have that same light. And one person was able to appeal to, certain feelings among others, and one didn't. This is not me being an apologist for Hillary Clinton. This is just me saying, you wanted truth? That's the truth. And so trying to litigate that is not cheering me up. I'm sorry.
But
I do appreciate the call.
And I'm not calling to debate you. And if you want to know why the light wasn't shown, it's because he doesn't have the record she has. And it's like we learned the first
That's right,
because
all he's done, all his record is one of getting sued, of getting consent decrees from the Department of Justice, of cheating people who have worked for him, of doing all that. Yes, he doesn't have a governmental record because he hasn't been in government.
That's right. And what is the one unforgivable sin in politics, Sam? It's corruption or the smell of corruption. Now listen.
Right, and you're telling me he doesn't have corrupt smell around him? He got less votes than Romney. He got less votes than Romney.
Yes. But not as a politician, Sam. That's what you're not seeing. And yes, a lot of your subscribers, I read the comments from your shows, a lot of them challenge with you guys for not going into the truth of Hillary by letting her off easy because you thought that she was the only viable choice.
I got news for you. After, wait a second. I'm going to say this to you, and then I'm going to hang up on you. But after she got the nomination, guess what? She was the only viable choice.
Yes.
Good.
I agree, Sam.
Okay,
I agree. The reason I'm calling is not to debate what happened and why. It's to beg you guys to not lose your focus. You know, I watch three places for domestic news. You, the Young Turks.
Dude.
And,
we had an election 24 hours ago. What is it that you wanted me to do today? Wait a second. What is it that you wanted me to do today?
And democracy.
What is it that you wanted me to do today?
I have to go.
What is it that you wanted me to do
today?
Did you want me to do? You want me to go interview a guy about what we should be doing about antitrust?
No. It's done. I want you to get back on your horses, and Michael would appreciate this because he's able to be more critical than you are, even of Hillary. Get back on your horses and do your jobs as independent journalists and tell the truth for all of us.
I'm telling you the truth.
Look, yeah, okay, but it's done. And maybe if you and everybody else would have spoken out earlier, and Bernie Sanders had had a better chance.
Hey, you know what? Here's the truth.
Numbers.
I'm hanging up on
Trump.
You, okay? Because you're a moron. All right. I just told you why Bernie Sanders didn't win, despite the fact that I supported him in the primary. He didn't win because he got into the election too late. That's the truth. That's the truth. You call him from a 206 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Kim Champion.
Hello, Kim Champion. How are you?
Not great.
Yes. Neither am I.
How you guys doing today?
Not great.
So I was going to talk to you a little bit about what happened in Washington State. And
are you walking somewhere? Are you on a cell phone? You keep cutting in and out.
I was walking out of the law library.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I literally 30 calls. I got hung up on the last one far too long. So,
okay.
What do you got?
Okay, so I've been talking to you guys much lately. I've been leading a movement to unionize the law research assistants at the University of Iowa.
Oh, good for you.
And now the Iowa State Senate. What's that?
Good for you.
Well, now the Iowa State Senate has moved to the Republicans, and now they own all branches of government, and they're probably going to end public sector collective bargaining in the state of Iowa. So, you know, hundreds of hours of organizing, probably for naught. But, you know, I think as far as the election goes, I think, you know, looking at Washington State, where I'm from Calhoun County, which is a mill town area, you know, white working class, over 90% white. You know, 4 years ago, they supported Obama by 5%. And this year, they supported Trump by 11%.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gigantic swing, you know, just in 4 years. And Hillary won the state by 19%, which is larger than Obama won it 4 years ago. And so I really think, you know, when you have a candidate that's deeply disliked, that's essentially running on the status quo, when a majority of Americans think that we're on the wrong track, I think this is what you get. You know, she certainly, you know, people like Obama, but they certainly aren't happy with the direction of the country, rightly or wrongly. You know, and, you know, when you have people struggling in deindustrialized areas like where I'm from, and I think where you're from, you know, they you know, and certainly the campaign wasn't aspirational at all.
I mean, the platform was
positive. You know, when did she ever talk about the minimum wage?
Right.
In Washington State,
the primaries.
They had an initial. Go ahead.
Well, she did.
Yeah,
in the primary.
In the primary.
They were completely. The campaign was completely divorced from issues. I mean, the general campaign. It was completely about how bad Donald Trump was, and that was a huge mistake. Yeah. She had no proactive message, and that is it was that's the. When I say that I think she ran a bad campaign, that's what I think, that lack of a proactive message. You could still say Donald Trump is, you know, whatever, baby Hitler. But you also got to say, you also got to run against him as a Republican. And that's why you tie him to Paul Ryan, and you have to offer yourself some vision of what you're going to do. And they didn't mention that stuff. From basically, as far as I can tell, from the convention onward. And they de-emphasized it at the convention. And I think that I think that was a big mistake. I think it was a big mistake. I mean, she certainly had the policies that could have been, you know, at least, you know, you could have. It's not like those policies you couldn't have sold some type of a vision. They just made a strategic campaign mistake. And not only did they lose in districts like you're talking about, but they didn't win big enough in the cities. And part of this, you know, I'm sure like when you're talking about Wisconsin, when you're talking about North Carolina, part of it has to do with voter suppression. But part of it is also, you know,
partly.
Partly, but part of it is also you're not giving a proactive reason for people to come out and vote. And part of it is that, you know, all the negative campaigning against her stuck. And so you had 7 million less votes. And, I don't have the data in front of me, but I would bet that, you know, 60% of those came from the urban centers of, you know, around Philadelphia and, around Detroit and around maybe some urban centers in Ohio and Milwaukee. And then, you know, that's the election. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, so I was going to say, like, in Washington State, we raised the minimum wage by an initiative, not by the legislature. Again, when you don't pass it through the legislature, you don't give people a reason to vote for the legislators. And so they passed it by 19 points, and that margin will probably get larger, raise it up to $13.50 over a couple of years. You know, it passed in places like where I'm from. But Trump won my county by 11%.
Yep.
You know, and so.
Well, because it wasn't nationalized. It wasn't, you know, the Democrats created that issue and they didn't use it. They didn't use it. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
I think it's bullshit and you and I know it. But as far as the Trump campaign, and it's certainly hearkening back to racism. But, you know, when you say make America great again, it's stupid. It doesn't mean anything. But you certainly are at least aspiring to a time where single income households could buy a home and send their kids to college and probably have fewer minorities in the workplace and things like that. But at least it is aspiring to something, something. And When I saw the campaigns for Hillary, it was just, he's a terrible human being.
Yep.
But unlike with Romney, they put people on who lost their job because of what he did.
Yes.
You know, that was a huge part of that campaign.
Yeah.
Those plants shutting down and moving overseas. They didn't do that.
No, I agree with you. I agree. I'm sorry about all that time you spent. I'm sorry about all that time you spent.
We'll see. We'll fight it. And maybe we'll have Wisconsin style protests. Maybe.
All right.
It reminded me of the Colorado campaign 2 years ago where the Udall just talked about what a horrible person his candidate was and how he opposed abortion rights.
Yep.
He didn't give people any reason to vote for him.
Yep.
Just to vote against people.
Yep. I think you're right. All right, Chem Champion, hang in there.
All right.
Let me know if those protests start in Iowa. Well, I'll hear about it.
Well,
maybe
this session will start in January, the next legislative session.
All right. Well, good luck with it. Let's go to a 604 area code. 604?
Yes.
Who's this?
Sam, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Hey, just a quick one because I got a lot of calls.
I'll be really quick, Sam. I just want to, I won't add to the postmortem here, but I just want to tell you that vast majority, we're just terribly disturbed up here and worried about you guys. We're worried about ourselves, of course. I want to let you know I love your show. I'm a supporter of your show. I'm going to actually increase my support to your show because I think it's more important than anything that your voice is out there. So I'm not quite sure how to do it. It's a little bit arcane when I get onto the website, but maybe
send us an email. I appreciate that. Send us an email.
And I know it's a dark day for you guys, but we'll persevere. So I know it's not. There's nothing I can say, but just want to let you know we're sort of
keep the lights on for us up there.
Pardon me?
Keep the lights on for us up there, just in case.
We will. Thanks,
all right.
Sam.
All right, bye bye. I appreciate that offer, and I want to say there's been a couple of people who emailed in and said, "I'm sorry, I got to cancel. I can't. I have to disengage." And
you know, if that's, I understand that reaction. I just wanted to let you know. I understand that reaction. And so if you're feeling that way, I understand. And, you know, no apology necessary. I can understand feeling completely demoralized. But that said, there is some good news from last night, yesterday. Voters in Maricopa County defeated, this is in Arizona, defeated Joe Arpaio. Now, of course, that a-hole may end up being like, I don't know, head of ICE or God knows what. But as Cam Champion told us, voters in Washington approved ballot initiatives to increase their state minimum wage, but also in Arizona, Colorado, and Maine. Voters in Arizona and Colorado approved measures to require businesses to provide employees with paid sick days. Voters in Richmond, California, and Mountain View passed rent control initiatives, but rent control was defeated in Alameda, San Mateo, and Burlingame, California. California voters had some good referendums. Extended the current income tax rates for wealthy to pay for public education. They raised tobacco tax. They repealed the ban on bilingual education. Strengthened gun control laws. Legalized marijuana. Massachusetts did too. In fact, Nevada legalized marijuana as well. With that said, you know, I think we said Florida medical marijuana. Maybe, probably, totally irrelevant. I would imagine when Massachusetts or California, Nevada say, hey, we're going to legalize marijuana. The federal government says, no, you're not. We're going to figure out what we're going to do with Washington and Colorado, but you are not. And if you do, we will send federal law enforcement to come in and arrest anybody who dispenses of it. So, Jimmy Reefer Cake, I don't know if you remember calling in last night. It sounded like you might have been engaging in some Jimmy Reefer Cake. But the bad news is, dude, is that it doesn't matter what the states do if the federal government is run by a guy whose consigliere said, I'm going to end the legalized marijuana. So, there's that. The on a not so good note, as if we needed more bad news, the death penalty got more extreme. Got it right here. In Oklahomans voted to provide explicit constitutional protections for its death penalty. It declares that it cannot be deemed cruel and unusual by state courts. Unbelievable. 67% of voters. Nebraskans voted overwhelmingly to restore the death penalty, nullifying a vote by the state legislature in 2015. Rural voters carried the day, voting to repeal the repeal. I'm sorry. Is this about we don't like the government, so we're going to give them more power to kill? California votes to speed up the death penalty rather than abolish it. There's just some people out there, even in California. It speeds up the appeals process, one with 50.9% of the vote.
calling from a 330 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ryan from Ohio.
Hi, Ryan. I don't mean to rush you too much, but I have literally 34 callers on the line who I'm not going to get to.
Okay. So. That's fine. I'm a college student, and I'm going to school for politics. I just figured it's kind of a shout out. Anybody who's, of college age, now's the time to get into politics, Like, the next 20, 30 years are going to be really important. We got to make sure that Trump is a one-term president.
I agree with you. I mean, I think obstruction is going to be the name of the game. The question is how to execute it. But I will say this about that, Ryan. If only people in your cohort voted, Hillary Clinton would have won about 500 and something electoral votes. So, the good news is it is people my age, something like, 40 to 54 or something like that, 45, who were the biggest, Trump supporters. And I think my guess is because people around my age came of age during the Reagan years. And that influenced their voting behaviors for the rest of their lives. Nasty time. Nasty time, the 80s.
Yeah, I think that's
and
fair. But
fortunately for you, your generation, when you guys come of age and the influence you'll have on the generation after you, things will get turned around. And so by the time you're my age, that's probably when the Supreme Court will be up and maybe you'll be sitting right where I'm sitting, literally. Maybe I'll save you this chair. And you can be talking about how you guys are celebrating having a 5-4 majority or 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I think this election could do a lot to push younger people to be more active in politics. And I don't know if you ever heard Lenin's quote that the worse, the better.
Yeah.
That, like, if things get really bad, it's going to cause an uprising from the opposite side.
Yeah, except for I don't think that we're in a an era where those type of uprisings happen in developed countries. And so,
well, not necessarily that kind of uprising.
Yeah.
I mean more like a backlash.
I think the pendulum always swings. We had on this program, maybe it was a month or two ago, a woman who wrote a book, her name escapes me, about white rage. And she detailed every time there was some gains in civil rights or civil liberties in some fashion by people of color.
Carol Anderson.
It was met with a backlash. And I would suggest that what we are seeing is the backlash. You get civil,
I would agree.
You emancipate the slaves, you have Reconstruction, then you have a backlash. In fact, I have a quote here, or I thought I did. Here it is. From an interview that Mike Konzel did with Eric Foner. Eric Foner and if you haven't read his any of his histories on Reconstruction, you should. He said, this is a quote from that interview, "Rights can be won and rights can be taken away. Achievements are always vulnerable." And I think we were just reminded of that.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, buddy. Hang in there. Call back.
Thank you, too.
All right. What's that? My IMs are not open, but I guess I'll do that right now. I know we've had people, got a lot of people hanging on the phone for a long time. Come from a 651 area code.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
I can. Who's this?
Okay, thank you. This is Mariana from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, Mariana.
Hello. I know everyone's feeling kind of down with the election, including me, because my mom is an immigrant, and basically everyone in my family is a public servant. So I'm not going to act like this doesn't suck, but I just wanted to tell you guys that you honestly do such an important job. Like, I'm in college, and I don't want to put pressure on you guys. I know you're not superheroes or anything, but, like, the work you do, educating people, making people laugh, it's just, like, even people in the chat room seem really grateful for it. So never feel like you're just doing this and it's all pointless. And I know it's hard to joke around now, and we're like, oh, it's too soon and stuff. I get that, and it's kind of true, but I think right now humor is more important than ever. Like,
yeah, I think you're right about that. I think you're right about it. First off, I appreciate your kind words. It is really gratifying. And I will say, we would probably be joking around now, but Michael got sick when he came in. But I did, when he did walk through the door this morning, if it makes you feel any better, I did yell, "Surprise, we got you." You thought Trump won. And we were trying to, I did say that to him. I did say, we've messed with you all so right. bad. Loser, you should see the look on your face when you thought Trump won.
That's great. I just wanted to...
Well, they can all be gems.
I'm just going to take a few more seconds because I know there's a ton of other people and I don't want to keep it up. But, I have really bad anxiety and I was spending the whole night up, but really what I was going to say is everyone, including Michael, I know you're sick, dude, but just... I really appreciate it, and tell Myla that she's not alone in this, and I see a really bright future for her, honestly. So,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And don't worry about being about the anxiety. I literally have not spoken to anyone who didn't tell me they spent all night up last night. I go in pretty narrow circles.
I have a sleep tracking app, and I woke up a number of times, probably about every 45 minutes with my chest pounding.
Wait, how does the app know what you're doing?
It detects vibrations. You put it on your bed.
You actually put it on your bed itself?
Yep.
But how does it know that you're not just moving around?
Well, you don't really move a whole lot when you're actually sleeping.
Well, how does it know that it's not your kid who's just coming to your bed to take a pee?
Well, other people in the bed do complicate the readings, actually.
Yeah. Let's not get it. Let's not go there. I don't need to hear Matt's. So my data set's not complete, if you know what I mean. Oh, Jesus. You wouldn't believe the texts I got last night at like 4 a.m.
They are called texts, and every time you say texts, it makes me say call them texts in my day-to-day
life. You wouldn't believe what's happening in Texas. Hello. Calling from a 713 area code. Who's this?
My name is Michael. I'm calling from Wausau, Wisconsin, as a depressed field organizer who was trying to help Russ Feingold win, and I just can't, I don't know what, like, I'm frustrated because I don't see how the, because that was supposed to be what the Democrats had, was the field program and be able to turn out the vote and talk to people. I don't see that materializing. And I just wonder what you think about that and, like, how, because I've spent, like, 3 months here talking to people on the phone, talking to people outdoors, trying to get people to stop false equivocating and saying they're both bad and all that jazz, and I just wonder what your thoughts on that kind of direct outreach, how effective it is.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of political scientists who are going to have to rewrite their books. I mean, that's all I can tell you. You
know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically it. This was the ultimate in test cases. And, mm-hmm. there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of academic work to do for this, but it, you know, I mean, the only other bright side that can come out of this, right? And, you know, again, this is all, I'm not trying to compare the ledgers. I'm just trying to build up on one side of the ledger for the time being, is that maybe the Democratic Party will now have really a broader understanding. I mean, look, this is what happens. My understanding is that within the Clinton campaign, there was an argument as to whether or not there should be more of a populist message coming out of it. Okay. Whether it was, you know, put aside for a moment whether or not it was a sincere one or any of that stuff, just whether or not that should be the message. And there was definitely a fight within the campaign. And obviously, I think, you know, a casual observer would see that, like, no, they stuck with he's a monster and that's all we need. And we have our ground game. And
absolutely.
And what happens, and I don't know if you experienced that in Wisconsin, but and what happens is that argument gets litigated. And, you know, I mean, today is not the day for it, but I certainly am going to do my part in trying to amplify that argument, because now, right now, is the time where this stuff gets locked in. You know, history gets written. You know, that first draft of history is pretty important, and because it's going to influence the way that people work. And so, in the same way that, you know, the pall of McGovern cast its shadow over, like, generations of Democratic activists, so too should this loss. And that's going to benefit people who, I don't know what your disposition is, but I'm guessing are of our ilk and disposition.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, like, one thing I was just I've been always wondering, I always thought it would be an interesting idea to try to divide Pence with Trump on trade. I don't know why that never happened. Like, Pence has a voting record on all these terrible trade deals that Trump keeps ranting about. That would have been interesting.
Look,
and just, again, it was just so toxic. All the potential volunteers didn't want to get involved because the race was all toxic and they didn't want to talk about the issues with people because they're afraid of the nastiness, and that was a large thing that was depressing getting people involved.
And did you find that with like Democrats, right? I mean, they would go and talk to Democrats who would be like, Hillary is a monster because of her email server.
I got that with, I got people like who were Democratic leanings, or when you talk to them a few minutes, they're like, yeah, I'll lean Democrats, but I also think Hillary Clinton is kind of shady. I don't like both candidates, but if you press me on it, I'll end up voting Democratic. I've gotten that a lot, and that was frustrating throughout the whole thing. I got frustrated. A lot of people who were kind of those Republicans using the email servers because they really didn't want to vote for Trump, but oh dear gosh, Hillary Clinton's investigated. Here's my justification of why I'm going to vote for this horrible human being.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Comey stuff is, you know, had an impact. I mean, I think there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot
of things. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But
I don't know if you can break them down, but clearly getting out to the vote operations, as sophisticated as we were told they were. I mean, we'll see. But I appreciate the call. Thanks for your work, man. Hang in there.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. Bye.
Calling from a 706 area code.
Yeah. I appreciate the call. Thank you, man.
706? Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me? Hey, listen. I've heard so many truths spoken today, but I got to tell you something. I'm hearing you reflect it back in my ear. You guys are headed down the wrong path with where to place the blame, and I want to help correct you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, listen, this is super important. You guys are misplacing the problem. And because I'm in Georgia, I can see a little bit of what happened. And what happened is this is an economic thing. I promise you this isn't a racist or a sexist problem. And we are in the middle of not realizing what's going on economically. And that's what people are seeing. And they are not seeing black Latinos here in our state. My husband is Latino. He's blessed, but the black and Latino see it generally as a division of economics. No one's feeling threatened here. And even you guys say with Judaism, if you go to the South Georgia and you ask people about Judaism, they'll say, Jesus's grandpa was like a Jew, wasn't he? And that's like Jesus's grandfather. They love it. They don't know. I mean, there's not the yuckiness that you guys are seeing is not placed in the general public. That's mostly, I have neighbors who used to be middle class who are having to extract their own teeth because they have two kids in college and they couldn't afford it. They had to do this job themselves instead of whatever it was, a root canal or a crown. You have to realize this is going on, and it's not so much that when you guys repeat that there's a problem with racism or white men out there, I think we're going to perpetuate something that we don't need to get down there. We need to utilize, like you said, this pendulum swing, jump on it, and really make a progressive difference.
Well, I mean, look, these are not mutually exclusive ideas. I mean, they're not. I think it is racist to specifically target African Americans and keep them from voting. I mean, we know this happened. We know North Carolina did this, for instance. We know it was done in Wisconsin. They've been explicit about it. I mean, I think that's racist.
Of course,
right
now what we need to do is start getting into everyone's head and saying, we knew that we wanted to go. You guys know what happened with Hillary. We really needed to go more progressive. We're all evolving.
I agree.
On misogynism,
I agree.
Sexism.
And
my husband is 55. He has matured on this subject in the past 10 years. He didn't know. So if we need to forgive everybody, we're evolving. But evolving also means, like, for instance, I agreed with the caller earlier that said, I hope you and Michael can get back to your roots. It's super important. You don't want to become like Chris Hayes. Look at him. He's soft. Oh, my gosh. Bless his heart. You don't want to do that. We need people that are speaking the truth, and that's the problem we had with Clinton. There was no truth. We have farmers here living off the land, and you guys talk about there's no more environmental protection. The Environmental Protection Office is here in Athens. We don't have any environmental protection as it is now. Who cares if we're funding the fucking office? There's nothing happening here, and we're in the middle of an extinction event, and Georgia has a lot of farmers. We have a lot of people who still work the land or want to work the land, and Clinton saw none of that, and there are a lot of black farmers here, too, and they're very angry, and they didn't go to the polls for her. We did not go to the polls for her because of that reason, and that's what you're seeing around the country. It's not racism, I promise you.
Well, wait
there's
a second.
There's a lot of togetherness here, and there's a lot of love here. There's a lot of togetherness. We got nothing, and yes, we're not going to get it from Trump. We know that, but we had to push the pendulum all the way back so that we could rock it forward, because otherwise
wait
Clinton
a second. Hold on
was
going to
take us into fucking Chris Hayes land, Mr. fucking Softy.
All right, now hold on for a second. Are you telling me that you voted?
I don't need to get upset. Okay, I got angry.
Hold on for a second. Are you telling me that you voted for Donald Trump because you didn't want to go
in? I did not vote for Donald Trump.
I
would never do that.
All right, I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to clarify. I got news for you.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know I was going to get so upset.
I
just want you guys to realize.
I understand.
There's a lot of
but you should understand something, too.
So don't go into fear.
You should understand something, too. That if Chris Hayes was sent down there, your EPA office would be doing a lot more. That if Chris Hayes was in charge of Georgia, there would be incredible responsiveness.
We would love to have him. But when I don't have a TV in my house, but I hear pieces from you, and I see it spread around on the YouTube. But we don't
Listen,
we don't. When I watch,
you certainly haven't heard any pieces. I got news for you.
I'm not going after Clinton for why people are upset, and the reason they're upset is they see a lot of money circulating. You know, when they see words like 166 million or whatever the words were from the emails, billions through the Clinton Foundation, a lot of people on both sides of the aisle were feeling frustrated. Here in Georgia, I can just say what I saw. You know, that's something's not right. Something's going on there, and.
You know what
I
the problem is, honestly?
Like,
listen.
What?
I think there can be racism and misogyny, and I think there can also be economic hardship. And I happen to think
racism and misogyny come out of economic hardship sometimes.
Sometimes they do. But also, hold on, let me finish.
Okay,
sometimes
sure.
they do. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're generated by they've been inherited from your parents. And sometimes when people are feeling economic hardship, hold on. When people are feeling economic hardship, they don't become racist and misogynist. I mean, all of those things that I just stated are true. And it can be the case that Trump got more, activated more of these people that Mitt Romney didn't. Or John McCain didn't, because let me just finish. Because he activated their racist muscles. But I can tell you something: whatever crap that you are watching that leads you to believe that Chris Hayes is the problem, okay, is
no, he's not.
Correct.
I just don't want you to become like that, where you don't start telling us the truth about what's going on.
What makes you think he's not telling you about
the... He had to be PC, and that's one of the arguments that we have about the idea of PC. You know, I love the... I'm a Democrat. I'm an old Dem. I love the idea of PC. One of the problems people have with it is they say when you're politically correct, you're not going to speak the truth when it's necessary, which is what happened, during slavery times. People just were PC. They didn't, you know... And we have to somehow break that. And I see Chris being so PC... It breaks my heart because he has to keep his job, and it's a great job. It's a wonderful job. You know, he doesn't probably go to bed worried like a lot of us. Like, how are we going to keep this whole thing going? My neighborhood is amazing. We have a lot of land. It's beautiful. We worry all the time. Doesn't have those worries. But there is so much of an economic factor, and I see it in those who voted here. Obama, we all put Obama into office 2 times. This really isn't I don't want people to go into fear, oh, we've become more racist or sexist. We're evolving on the sexism. I don't think we're going to let it go back to slip back to where it was. And you said that, Sam, last Friday, that homosexual rights, gay rights, LGBT rights have changed so much since we were in school.
Yeah.
Because I graduated in 1982. You wouldn't believe the progress we've made. Oh my God!
I have no doubt that we've made that.
We're not going to go back.
But you're saying two different things. You're saying that yes, some of it was had to do with sexism, and that it didn't have anything to do with sexism. And yeah, look, I think both can be true. I think both can be true. And I think that anybody who thinks that Donald Trump is going to improve their lot in that way. Is really
mistaken.
So that's
why it's important for you and Michael to generate a true progressive fire. That's what you do best. That's what that fellow was trying to tell you earlier. Don't go into the lighties or the softies. Just to
I don't know what the
lighties
or the softies. I've been doing this for 12 years.
I don't know that you did that at all, but it started to feel like because you were fearful. We were all fearful that Trump was going to get elected.
It was a question of fearful.
It
was a question of like, look,
we
had two choices.
I mean,
we had two choices. And I could have done videos about how Hillary had Parkinson's. And I could have done videos about how Hillary's. The Clinton Foundation, let me tell you something. The idea that the Clinton Foundation would even come up. The idea, listen to me. The idea that the Clinton Foundation would even come up in your discussion of things that Hillary Clinton were bad about Hillary Clinton shows me that you are just listening to people who are lying to you.
I'm telling you what is the general vibe.
Yes, and I'm telling you that the reality is, is that stuff was bullshit.
There were other complaints about Clinton, yeah, were fine, well, we, but the Clinton Global Initiative stuff, the idea that that, I mean, you want to compare that to,
well,
like the Red Cross?
Good, do a show about
Cross.
It. I would love to hear you break it down, because I don't know.
Did.
I don't know how it's being used. I don't know what's going on. I'd love
I did.
To see that.
But now
right
I'm
now
not going
to
spend my
you
time.
To make sure
but
that
look.
You use this time that we've swung this direction to build up a momentum. And I think you can do it. A lot of people listen to you. You guys have great ideas. And I'm not going to hold you any longer, because you've been really generous with your time with me. But I look forward to seeing where we go from here. But get some fire, some kick ass. Please, we need it.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little time, but I appreciate that. Thanks.
I know. All of us, of course. We all are.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it, you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. I mean, I don't mean to lose patience with people, but it is depressing for me. What? It is depressing for me when, you know, you hear stuff like that. Like, I mean, I don't think that some people on the left realize the opportunity that we have lost. And that's depressing for me, because that makes me feel like I didn't do my job well enough in those 3 months or whatever. Because I was afraid of Trump. No, I wasn't afraid of Trump. I was afraid of the reality that we're in right now. Donald Trump does not scare me as a person. But the reality we now have, where all of those ideas that I would talk about on this program, it's moot. Right now, the big strategic question is, how closely aligned are we going to be with Glenn Beck to fight the Trump administration? And I'm being partly facetious, partly. Because all those neoliberals that various liberal pundits who think that Chris Hayes is the problem, all those neoliberals, guess what? You're going to be looking to those people to go on and deliver their zinger on TV, because that's all there is. Dumbasses. And I'm not talking about you who just called in. I'm talking about those people who would just... Chris Hayes is the problem. Oh, my God. Do those guys, those farmers in Georgia, are they sitting around going like, this goddamn Chris Hayes, we're going to teach him a lesson by voting for Donald Trump? Seriously? Is that what was going on? Is that what I'm to believe? No. You're watching morons on YouTube tell you stuff that is lies. You want to hear the truth? That's the truth. If you see a set of videos that include the words Chris Hayes and Global Clinton Initiative delivered by someone talking into a microphone, that should be your first indication that guy's an idiot. You want me to tell you the truth? That's the truth. Evansville, Michael did an interview with Wes Clark Jr. last week about direct action activism and mobilization. It's never been more important to discuss these things. Get these people on your show. We've moved out of the theoretical realm. We actually need to create mechanisms to turn hatred and oppression into positive change. It's time to go to work. I agree. But Did Clinton ever join Barber and attend a Moral Monday protest in North Carolina General Assembly? That was her constituency. I don't think she did, and I think that's a huge mistake. I did speak at the convention. Jay Tingle, Ann Coulter tweeted this morning, 1928 was the last time Republicans had the White House, the House, and the Senate. What? 2004, 2001 to 2004, 2000 to 2004.
I hope Rick Perlstein lives long enough to finish his books on Cheney and Trump. Conservative success grows with each successive GOP administration. Reagan is dead, but his policies are being carried out with great success, almost with no pushback. They can't seem to lose ground, and the standard bearers grow more stupid and offensive. Northern Star, devastating result for the future of your country. That being said, the adherents of the third way politics have now been utterly obliterated. Agreed. The future of Democratic Party lies elsewhere, and it's now time for shows like the Majority Report and TYT to make their mark, because people will be looking for answers when the going gets rough. Despite this reactionary result, I remain hopeful that people like Elizabeth Warren will lead the progressive movement forward. Yeah, I hope people are actively pumping Restoril or whatever that stuff is into Elizabeth Warren right now. Demon 4372, with the Supreme Court nominations Trump will do, what is the chance of Obergefell, Hodges, gay marriage, or Roe v. Wade, abortion being overturned? I think both of those are in play. I tend to believe that by the time my daughter is in her 20s, there will be maybe only a dozen states in the country that will have legal abortion. And I think it's quite possible that the same could be for marriage equality. Bull Prog, happy anniversary of Kristallnacht. Oh, thank you. On a somewhat ironic note, assisted suicide is now illegal in Colorado. Dougie Man, Doug will never shut the F up now. Thanks, Trump. Chris Lepaco, look on the bright side, Sam. Hillary won the popular vote. Do we all agree that Jill Stein didn't cost Hillary the election? I do. I agree with that. I'd love to hear from John from San Antonio's thoughts on all this craziness. Yeah, I mean, I need to. We get so many calls here. I can't even see the area codes until I pop them into the thing. So it's basically like, it's like bingo. It's sort of like, again, playing like phone bingo. Cuck Todd, this week on Meet the Press, we enable a sex offender to wait. We've been doing that for the last month. Bad optics. Hornware, what do you recommend we tell Democratic senators to do on SCOTUS? Matt and the sleep analysis app. This guy gets more fascinating every day. On the SCOTUS thing, I think that President Obama, and I don't think he'll do this, but it seems to me possible for him to do an inter-recess appointment. I think he can do it. It might create some type of crisis, but there's already a crisis. But I don't know. I need to talk to people about that first. Big line in the bridge. I know the Dems are going to start blaming blacks for the election after they realize it wasn't third parties. Maybe they should stop paying lip service to our issues, and we would have turned out. I mean, I think, look, black turnout was definitely down. I would be very surprised if the Democrats blamed their most loyal core constituency. I think at the end of the day, you can blame them, but you have to appeal, to your voters. And you've got to make a proactive case. I mean, this has been my criticism from the beginning. AJS, what the F are we going to do? How did the Republicans become the party of working class rage and the Democrats the party of aloofness? How will we clean house to win again? The liberal establishment has been thoroughly rejected. I don't think we can trust demographics anymore. How do we pivot? I feel sick. All the jokes and everything. I love you guys. Even if we disagree a lot, there's no way I'm quitting my membership now. Nate Cohen tweeted that Clinton suffered the biggest losses in the places where Obama was strongest among white voters. What does that mean in terms of this being an election about racists? Like I say, I think part of this is, one, misogyny, I've always said this, is more acceptable to people than racism.
And that in some ways, like, it's also an extension of racism. You know, it is, I don't think it should be that hard to understand the concept of like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. We gave them one. Now we got to give them two in a row. I think that's part of the attitude. I can't believe that The Daily Show will be the voice of the left again. I'm going to be sick. We had a great thing going with the left under Obama, and now that's gone. Yep. Isha, worst part, Colorado got rid of Colorado Care. 100,000 left presidential vote blank when 12K was the difference in Michigan. 100,000 left the presidential vote blank in across the country or in Michigan? Juju, Trump picks top climate skeptic to lead EPA transition. Yep.
But Hillary promoted fracking.
Matt and the BK. In case you don't take my call, how is Mila this morning? I was thinking of her this morning. She was upset. She was crying. And she, I think, only understands like one part of it. She's just like, how can a guy so disgusting be the president of the United States? I don't have an answer for that. I do not recall ever feeling this numb after an election. I felt angry after 04. I volunteered and depressed, and I'm kind of worried about this current numbness. I feel like my soul was sucked right out of me. I need to go make sure I can still see my reflection in a mirror. A friend whose parents were born in China tried to reassure me with, "We survived the Cultural Revolution, so you can survive this." Of course, they escaped to a new free country to raise a family. I think the DNC needs to hire Michael Moore as outreach coordinator to the disaffected white voters. Speaking of Hayes, Sam, I hope you get obliterated in the next election draft. In shock. My father is a narcissist and imitates behavior he sees. I noticed when Trump was ascending, he began acting like Trump. He teased my wife, and we currently aren't speaking. My mother is passive and puts up with my father's behavior. They're both evangelicals. My dad was even a pastor growing up. I can't look at them in the same way anymore. I've lost all respect for them. Am I taking this too personally? I really have no interest in speaking to them ever again at this point. It's going to be a weird holiday season. I have a teenage son, and I feel like they've just ruined his future. I'm hurting. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think I may have some in-laws who voted for Trump. And, you know, I am just determined to try and keep that from my daughter. And I have a feeling she has suspicions. And I don't know. I don't know if those people will sort of say like, oh, wow, I didn't even contemplate that. Yeah, what do you tell your daughter about who we just elevated to the presidency? I don't know. Asthmatic grapefruit, Clinton. Only actors, politicians from now on? Chelsea from Chicago. I used to share Kelly's perspective from earlier regarding Trump voters, someday regretting what they've done. But frankly, at this point, I have no faith in the ability of these people to think for themselves. These are the same working class whites who think that we need to eliminate the estate tax, for Christ's sakes. We're reaping what has been sown by right-wing radio, telling the masses to distrust everything the media says, hate liberals, and actively disregard facts for decades. Doe Link. I kind of lost it when Paul Ryan was self-congratulating that campaign had rebuilt the Republican Party thanks to riding the coattails of Trump, party of white nationalists. Guy who said, get back on, doesn't give you 8 hours to grieve. Stop watching TYT several weeks ago because of drumbeats for Stein and harping on Hillary's emails. Glenn One, the angry white man has been around for a long time. This election was about the constant demonization of Hillary over nonsense, period, full stop, while allowing Trump to get away with no tax returns and a multitude of lies. Secretary Gingrich. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin were expected to vote blue, but didn't. These states were particularly hurt by NAFTA and would be hurt by TPP. They voted against Clinton. I just don't think she won the margins she was supposed to in the cities. I think that's more the reality, frankly. Europe is no better. Sitting here with the book, No Shortcuts, Organizing for Power, and I hope you'll be able to reach teach your audience to do so. Putin's mic check. Thank you so much for moving words at the start of this episode. Normally it's your guests who get me weeping with hope, but you did it today. I was a bit lost, but your challenge to recall the motivation to get involved for the benefit of others cast my should-I-fee feelings into the appropriate light. I'm reminded of JFK's Ask What You Can Do for Your Country and look forward to your words on a new fight in the months ahead. Chris-O, thanks for the ray of light and laughter in your opening poem, Sam. Run, people. Share, save and share over rows, billions of rows. Amen. Garen, and I mean love in a Kelly way. I don't know what that means. Militant apathy. A lot of people are going to hate Hillary now. We can't just fall into that. It was an identity election, white identity. Black and brown and gay people cannot be responsible for salvaging our democracy every 4 years. There's something wrong with the way white people see themselves. I was against Hillary and the machine, but I gained a lot of respect for her when she went to that debate and had to look at all those men that Bill had dealt with. I don't know how many men would have gone to that debate and looked in the faces of all the guys that their wife had slept with. None. Hubris was her problem. Distance girl. I slept for a couple hours and was awake from 3 a.m. to 7, slept a bit more, but I've been up since 9. Thanks for the little hope you can offer. Sorry, Michael is sick. My friend at the DOE said he had 30 employees calling sick this morning. I'm surprised Milo went to school. Sarah Bell, a bit of dark humor. We now have proof of reincarnation. Trump was born 1 year after Hitler died. It's a long time to wait. No, it isn't. That would just be 2 months.
Wait, what?
That would be 2 months.
2 months between Trump and Hitler?
Well, if he died and then he was born a year later.
Oh, no, you're right. Well, it's three, I suppose.
It's really 10 months of pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I don't really know.
They don't tell you that.
I guess you know more.
Your local leftist. I understand you guys have so many people on the line. I've personally been on the phone for 40 minutes. Hopefully they'll be picked up, or should I hang up? I can't promise anything. I'm looking at people who've been on the phone for almost an hour and a half. No, we'll do another 20 minutes. Actually, I got to... I've got to do a pre-record, but and let's see.
Yeah, like one note on a lot of the conversation we're having. Everybody, I think it's sort of like a natural, sort of like solipsistic impulse to want the fault that you find most important to be the only fault people find, and people act like it's some sort of challenge if you say, "Well, misogyny isn't the threat, or economics isn't the issue." And the fact is, like, this is it's a mix of all these things.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. I think there's a... All right, we got 10 minutes. If you've been on the phone for a long time, folks, I would hang up. I mean, I got a lot of people to get to, and there's no way I'm going to. So I apologize for this. You're calling from 618 area code. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kevin from St. Louis suburbs.
Hey, Kevin. Got to be quick. I know you've been holding for a long time. I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if you had a feeling, like I live in Southern Illinois, which is a safe blue state. And I know a lot of people who usually vote Republican don't like Trump, but they kind of bought into all the Hillary scandals and everything. And I think they felt safe voting for Trump because they knew he wouldn't win the state. And with all the polls saying she was 70% to 90% likely to win the election, if you think there was like a national thing where people don't like Trump, but they felt like they had some kind of deniability that their vote would matter.
I mean, you know, I don't know. The typical data is that when people think that their candidate's going to win, people go out and vote because they want to vote for a winner. So I don't know. I don't know if that kept people away. I don't think that would explain that number of people, to be honest with you.
Right. I didn't think it made the difference in the election, but I thought maybe it would be, you know, a single-digit percent of the people who actually voted for him or something.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible.
Who woke up this morning saying, you know, what did we do?
I mean, I think there could be, you know, Paul Ryan may have woken up that way this morning, but I think it was also happy. Like, well, it actually could work out. Or it could be a problem. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I think that's possible.
All right, well,
it's as good as explanations I've heard of anything, but appreciate the call.
No, I appreciate your show. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Let's see. You're calling from an 801 area code. Who's this? Phone system's a little bit sluggish today because of... I call him from a 443 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Anthony from Baltimore.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi. I originally started this call to say one thing, but given all the other calls, I just wanted to say that this whole phenomenon that's been going on with people calling and blaming you and Chris Hayes for things is totally ridiculous. And at a time where something this crazy has just happened, it's totally counterproductive to be this angry and, I don't know, just to blame you guys. And I just wanted to say, I had a block party last night in Baltimore, and I commandeered the projector, which was being displayed on a huge screen, and you guys were being played in Baltimore for a while last night, and we were with you.
Oh, wow.
And, I got a couple video clips that I'm going to try to email you guys.
I do. I wish it was more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, man. But, you know, I just want to say thanks for doing what you guys do. And, you know, independent media like you guys, you guys have the most concise and convey the points that need to be heard so well. And people who say that you guys are dishonest are totally just missing the picture. And much love to you guys.
All right. You know? Well, I appreciate the call. There. Thanks, man. You too.
Take care.
You're calling from... I see it pop up. You're calling from a 402 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ben from Nebraska.
Hello, Ben. What's on your mind, Ben?
Thank you for taking my call. I know with Thanksgiving coming up that there is just going to be a lot of domestic debacles going on, but I don't call in very much, but I do want to say that I am very thankful for your program throughout this this election season. In combination with Democracy Now!, you guys have really provided the greatest insight. I really can't say enough about that. Just real quick, though, I wouldn't go so far as to say that you're the Noam Chomsky of my conscience.
Thank you. I hold you. There was a lot of pressure on. I do hold to be you, frankly.
Yeah, that guy maybe is laying it on a little bit thick, but I do hold you in high esteem. I just want to share a quick story, and I'm a goy. So maybe you can help me out with this, but...
Well, I'll do my best.
there's a story that happened here in Lincoln, Nebraska in the 90s where the head of the Ku Klux Klan, a guy by the name of Larry Trapp, was harassing this new Jewish cantor who was in town, and he was being merciless, crank calling and all this. They crushed him with kindness. They kept going over to his house, asking what they could do, get his groceries and all of this. By the end of his life, he claimed to have reformed. My father ran a public access show at the time. He was horribly harassing my father. He sent him a tiny model boxcar train. It's like a thing, you know, like a, I don't know, to try to make amends for all of his awfulness, converted to Judaism and claimed to reject his former racism. And I was introduced to the concept of Tikkun Olam. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's stitching the universe back together. what is the opposite of that? Because that's what this feels like. That's, this feels like the opposite of what I witnessed as a positive mitzvah. Is there an opposite concept? Because I'll just leave you with that. This feels like the opposite of stitching things back together. Thanks, yeah. Sam. Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't know. I don't know what the opposite would be. A Shonda? I don't think that's... Shonda Rhimes? I'm not sure. I don't know. No, I don't even know who that is.
What?
954 area code. Who's this? We got 1 minute.
Michael from Miami, buddy.
I owe you some apples, bud.
Let me tell you something, pal. I've known, well, now we don't know each other, but I've been in contact with your phone since 2005 when you were on with Janine at night and I was in Los Angeles. You're doing the Lord's work today, pal. There's just no other way around it. You have to look at it as a sounding board and a venting exercise. We could sit here from now until doomsday and come up with reasons that would just explain what happened last night or yesterday, and it wouldn't do anybody any good because no one would be satisfied because, as your colleague said earlier, it's everybody has their own, you know, theory, and if it's not their theory, then it has to be wrong. In life, like anything else, it's a myriad of things that happen.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of things that happen all at once. It's the perfect candidate. It's the bad candidate on the other side. It's the mistake she made. It's the media's compliance. It's economic frustration, which I think is vastly underplayed. That lady in Georgia was kind of out of her mind, but she had the right idea, I think, in the sense that this economy, this recovery, has bypassed so many people. And especially in the industrial Midwest, where I used to live, you know, it's vital for them to be able to put food on the table and have basic, you know, basic things in life available to them.
I think the failure of, listen, I think you could also throw in there, I think Obama's failure to prosecute the bankers. I think that, yep. I think all the failure to help homeowners still resonates big time. Because it created a narrative and it maintained some pain on people.
When I listened to you, he said that in the first 2 years of his administration, he just didn't know how to use power. He wasn't aware of the fact of what he had, and therefore he was ignorant in a dumb sense, but he was unskilled in the ability to utilize the levers of power at his disposal, and that was the biggest mistake he made. He made horrible budget deals. He made ridiculous concessions, all that crap that we all known about ad nitem that David Plouffe talked about later on in his book.
Yep.
But that set the tone, Sammy.
Yep.
Because then in 2010, he lost the edge. He got it back a little bit in 12, but then look at it. For the last 4 years, he's essentially been a lame duck. You can't tell me one piece of substantive legislation that he's passed in the last 4 years.
Well, wait a second.
I know there's reasons for that.
No, but I can tell you, I can tell you, not legislation. He didn't have, there's no way he was going to do legislation, but
right, exactly.
DACA, DAPA, net neutrality, the Chinese, the Paris Accords.
The Cuban initiative, I agree all that.
The EPA stuff, all that stuff is going to be reversed. I mean, it's all gone.
Right.
It's all gone.
All right, exactly. Well, okay, not to put too much of a dark cloud on already a disgusting day, but the theory of Secretary of State Gingrich reporting back to Attorney General Giuliani, you know, is just nauseating in and of itself. But here's what I think the big picture has to be remembered. At this point, you cannot and you should not ever try to pin yourself in to one candidate. If the DLC did anything wrong, it is they did tend to, and I realize that they didn't have a choice, but I think there was a certain inevitability attached to Hillary's candidacy, which should not have been granted. It shouldn't have been done, especially after the lessons of 08, and that's their biggest issue. Having said all that, look, Donald Trump was an empty vessel. The dude was right. He could have stood on Fifth Avenue and shot somebody, and he wouldn't have lost his supporters. And why is that? Because people were angry and were looking to vent at something and anyone. It didn't matter who was on the Republican side. That's the whole theory of this thing. What mattered was who was on the other side and who they were going to get even with. And there was a good piece in Salon a couple weeks ago about the frustrations people feel in the rural areas. And if you want to know about my state, okay, we talked about this a couple days ago. My state basically went for Trump, even though there was good turnout in my home county, Broward County, in Dade County as well, Palm Beach. They got the numbers they thought, but that just was revenge of the white guy.
Yep.
They just came out of the woodwork in all these other small rural counties, and they just flooded the market. They just did not anticipate that kind of voter turnout. And that's what happened at least here, and I believe that's probably what happened nationally on a larger scale. You can't get away from that. They were pissed. They were going to hold somebody accountable.
Well, I mean, the reality is, wait a second,
I
got to jump, but Michael, the reality is that Trump got less votes than McCain and Romney. The problem is Clinton turned out even less relative to Obama.
Yes, and she didn't take as many from the Latin American nor from the African American communities. Well, listen,
I don't know about that. I got to check the raw numbers, but I appreciate the call.
Have a good one. Take care. We'll be in touch.
Okay. I got to send you apples. All right, folks. I'm not going to get to any more calls. I know I've got people who've been hanging on for an hour and over an hour. I apologize. I got to jump. I got to do take three more IMs and then I got to go because I got to record some Ring of Fire stuff. Eric 22. I feel like Thomas Frank was largely proven right. Sad. Bravo 30. Well, I can't read the whole thing but because it's too long, but he promised to make Germany great again. Beer for later. You can only get whites to overcome their racism, xenophobia if they have good economic prospects for themselves. Racism, xenophobia is a completely predictable result of the neoliberal assault of the last 35 years, except for the fact that 35 years ago, the whites in Georgia were also a little bit racist and xenophobic.
They would have been into Pepe memes, too. Pepe.
The Clinton Foundation is a total scandal. If you can't admit that, that's the problem. I remember all of those forward-thinking people in Georgia 35 years ago. Oh, my God. Pataki on the attacky. Sam, not much to say, but I think you're a great guy, and if you ever visited Scotland, give me a shout. I will do that. Oh, my God. All right, one more. And then I got to go. I'm sorry, folks. Brave-o-matic. Happy to be leaving the country tomorrow, even if it's just for 2 weeks in southern Italy. We'll discuss possibly moving to Mexico during that time, though. Not you and I. All right, folks. We'll be back tomorrow on the program. I think Adam Green will be here from the PCCC. Originally, I thought we would be talking about how we're going to push Hillary to the left. Now it's going to be, you know... he's an appropriate person to talk to, in my mind, because those guys are very, very supportive and were instrumental in helping, you know, create the Warren wing of the Democratic Party. And now I think it's pretty clear that wing is ascendant. Hang in there. We will figure out the next steps over the coming days and weeks, and we'll endeavor to take them. If you have kids or parents or brothers or sisters or cousins or pets, go home. Or if you're home, turn to them and hug them or wait for them to get home. You know, do whatever you have to do to actually hug them. And hang in there. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice is made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Takes you. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the man's